Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
So, how are you, Cindy? And
good.
Bravo,
I want to thank
on a great performance this weekend.
Well, thank you. I mean, it was no one has any idea how nervous I was. I don't think any of the cast and crew, because I was pretty good not to reveal it to anyone. But I was scared because it's an original play, and it's never been done before. And what if nobody gets the script and it falls flat on its face? So I was like so relieved to see the audience was getting it and they got it and they liked it.
What's really, really great, too, is that, like, there were so many, because obviously, you know, I'm very, very familiar with you. I'm familiar with your other works. It was just so nice to see a different side of you, you know, because, you know, obviously, you know, when it comes to love and relationships and when it comes to your mediumship and things like that, obviously, you know, this is not your first rodeo and you know, you have a way about you with those things. You know, you have a tone with those things. But it was just so nice to see this other absolutely beautifully talented side of you. Like, I forget how talented you are sometimes because we're always so immersed with love and relationships and with show and things like that. And it was just so lovely to see you, not only like just writing such a thing, you know, and let's face it, you wrote this at a time when Google was not a thing. So the facts and everything that you've pulled out and brought into light about Beethoven's life was absolutely great, you know, and then for you to star in it as well, you know, you forget how talented you are.
Oh, man, and it was funny because people said, did you write those parts for you? I said, of course not. I didn't want anything to do with it. I wanted to write it, and I didn't want to direct it, be in it, stage manage it, you know, costume. I didn't want to do all of that, no. But we had to do what we had to do to keep the cost down, to make it, you know, able to be done. And, you know, so, you know, after the first night, it was funny. The two audiences were very different, by the way. The first night, they were like not laughing at any of the jokes because they were so stunned by, you know, the pain of Beethoven that they just didn't know it's okay to laugh. So your audience got the jokes, which I loved. I was like, there was sometimes that he's so funny, you know, don't miss
God.
That part
he was
of it.
Brilliant. He really was very, very, he was brilliant, you know, as Beethoven, he really was. And like, I know some of the history of Beethoven, obviously not as much, you know, about his history, but I mean, I know some of it, and even you know, with some of the nuances and with, you know, the way that he delivered some of his lines, it was, for me, it was very, very accurate, because from what I do know about Beethoven and his temperament, you know, I saw a very, very close relation to the way that he was played in your play to what I've read. And it really, really, you know what, if you guys missed it, you really, truly missed a great performance. And, you know, we're always hearing Cindy talk about her days as a belly dancer. And we actually got to see a little bit of that. So you guys messed up by not seeing it if you couldn't make it out. But
a very little glimpse, because all I could do was use my arms and try not to move my body because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that kind of a dance. So, I mean, it was, but it was like, did you write that part for you? I said, no, Beethoven loved everything Egyptian. He drew hieroglyphics. He loved Isis. He loved all of that. That was, you know, something he was pretty obsessed with. So I said, when it came down to that, we had to scale down the whole production a lot because it's really a much larger with all kinds of dancing and things in it that, to really scale down that scene, the dream sequence, took a long time for me to figure out how am I going to do it. How can I suggest it enough that it'll sort of come across? So that's why I had to, you know, put that a little bit of a dance in there and things like that. So, you know, people say, did you want to perform in it? And I said four times, no, I don't want to perform in it. I didn't want to. Yeah, but did you see in the Facebook page the Josephine Under the Lights? There was another, like a shadow figure of me that looked like a ghost. It's like the eeriest thing you'll ever. it was really very eerie, wasn't it? To see that.
It was creepy. It was very, very creepy. But it was. You know what? It was perfect. It really, really was.
Well, because I was
perfect.
Portraying a dead woman. There should be a ghost there, shouldn't there? You know.
Yeah, of course. You know, that's what most people would imagine. You know, a dead person just, you know, popping in. Oh, you're playing me here. Let me stand behind you while you're doing so.
I certainly felt that, and those were her words, retranslated from the German by me because I couldn't use the original German translation because we couldn't get the copyright of it. But they were pretty close to her words, as much as I could get them. So I think Josephina was probably happy. Well, I'm so glad that you came because I don't think I would have enjoyed it without you there. And it's so funny because I realized from Gene Steele, because it's a small world, that you guys didn't bring any money and you wanted the wine. I was like, you could have just asked me. I could have just gotten it for you.
What happened was when we were in the car, I had cash in my pocket. And don't forget, I was racing back from Ohio. So at one point, I had cash, and as I was sitting in my seat, because my back was bothering me, I was very, very wiggly, and Lisa kept saying, the money's falling out of your pocket. So I took the cash out of my pocket, and I put it in a little compartment in the car, and I completely forgot that I put it in a little compartment in the car. So I ran in there. I'm like, oh, shit, they've got refreshments or whatever. So Jean was nice, and I thought she threw me $10 so that I could have a nice glass of wine for the first act, and then I ran outside. I reimbursed her, grabbed the rest of my cash, and continued to patronize the bar and the snacks.
Well, good for you. Good for you. And, you know, I want to thank Debbie Tony because she did a marvelous job with the chorus. I mean, she was just amazing. And, you know, the cast and crew were fabulous. And I couldn't have had better people to work with. So, you know, I'm still like a little bit not quite spun back into my full 1,000% self because it was a little bit exhausting, mostly because of my nerves, not because it was working any harder than I normally work, but it's just when you get the nerves in there, you know, it's not good. It really slows you down. Slows you down. And, you know,
I would imagine that's so. I mean, because you run craziness as it is. You know, I mean, you're always working, you're always doing something, and then to throw this into the mix of your normal life is just it's a little much, you know, and you can tell that from the performances and, you know, from the way that everything just really went. It's just so smooth. You put time and energy and work into this, so I think that it's you know you did a wonderful job. It was well worth the sacrifice. Now it's just going to be a little bit of an adjustment to get you back to your normal.
Just a little bit. Well, we do have TJ, and we're going to, like, take him on for a minute, and then anybody who wants to speak to Nicole or I, you have to press 1, and we'll get to you if we can. And I'll pick up TJ for a minute. I think he's out sailing with his friend Todd, and then you can screen the first person who's called in pretty early today. So,
And I'm going to say one thing. TJ, let the cat out of the bag that he's actually been sailing, like, every day this month. So,
did you see it on Facebook?
No, he said
did you see it on Facebook or just?
No, talking at the show, he had mentioned, oh, yeah, you know, I've been sailing, you know, every day this month. And, you know, I think, I like, TJ, I love TJ, you know. And he actually said, Cindy, we need a date off the air one of these days, like a dinner or drinks or something. So I told him that we would make that happen.
Just so we could have fun.
Yeah, just fun. No work, just fun.
All right,
no
so
work,
I'm
no
going
to
talk to no nothing, and I'm going to talk to TJ,
exactly.
And you'll start screening our callers, okay?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, TJ. You're live and on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, I know you have people waiting in the queue. We're out here sailing. We're on our way back, sunsetting, all that. Any news when people might be able to get copies of the video of the play? Are you going to make them available?
Well, we're going to try to make it available. We're going to see, you know, when it comes out. And then, because a lot of people are asking, they want to see it. So that's good. We're getting people interested. So I think it's probably in the next week or so, because it's just
really
being edited. And
blew my mind.
And,
do you need food for tonight when I come home?
No, I just ate, thank you, and I'm not hungry. And to let you know, I have people from 8:15 to 10:15, but you can come home anytime you want.
Oh, that's good to know. All right, dear, I love you, and it's time for you to do the show. And I hope you all the stuff I did for you today. I hope that you got to see it all. All right, bye-bye.
Yes, I did. Okay, bye. Okay, we have Crystal. Is that a Crystal that I would know that I've read before? Crystal on Long Island, okay. Love life overall. Okay, I'm going to pick up Crystal, the 9600, your last four digits of your phone number. Hi, Crystal, you're live and on the air.
Hi, how are you, Cindy?
Good, and how about you?
I'm good, and yourself?
Excellent. And so you want a little peek into your future. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just love life and in general. Did you end a relationship recently or within the last year or two? At this point?
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing like an ending here. Okay, and it's really over now? That's it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because it looks like it was a hard thing to end, but it's for the best. I hope you realize that. Are you coming to that realization now?
I realize it, yeah.
Okay, it's not easy because you're a very old soul, and older souls are a little slow to let go of relationships. You know, and they hang in there a little too long. But when's your birthday? I don't need the year, just the month and the day.
December 1st.
Okay, good. Because with your upcoming new year, which begins with your birthday, you should be falling in love. Are you drawn to anybody yet?
No one in particular.
Good, okay. Because this looks like a brand new somebody. That's what I'm asking you. It doesn't look like you've met him before. It will kind of take you by surprise and pretty quickly. So
really?
I hope you're making space in your life for love a little bit. Are you?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes, you know, we have to have, you know, love takes up some time and space. So I always tell people, even if you just clean a drawer out or two that the person may use when they come to visit, just make a little space, empty a drawer.
I hear you.
You know, and it's just so the universe just says, oh, she's getting ready for this. Career-wise, looks pretty good here, too. Are you happy with what you're doing? Because in the future, it looks like a little more money and a little more happiness career-wise.
That's what I'm trying to aim for. Just don't know what direction and go into.
I know. Isn't it funny? We never know what we're going to do when we grow up, do we?
Nope.
It's like, you know, somebody told me when I was 41 that I'd be a psychic medium. I probably would have laughed for about an hour.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? And then it was like, oh, you discover gifts and things that you don't know were there.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like a really pretty big shift in career for you.
Really?
Okay, something that will build on what you've been doing, but not exactly what you've been doing and learning some new stuff, more interesting for you. Because what I'm seeing a little bit in the cards is there's nothing wrong in your life per se, but it's like a little boring. Which is good. I mean, it's not, there's not drama here. I'm not seeing drama. But part of what we need is a little more passion in our life. So career-wise and love-wise, that's showing up here for you. I mean, you don't have any bad cards.
Career-wise?
What'd you say?
Do you see anything in particular as far as career-wise?
Okay. Do you want to keep working for someone? Is that what you want to do? Because I almost see like you could potentially work for yourself in the future if you wanted to. And
I've thought about it, but never had any specific ideas on what to do as far as working for myself. But in the meantime,
there is, you know, you getting a different job. Are you putting out resumes and things like that at this point?
I started and then I kind of paused on it because I was trying to figure out exactly, okay, I really need to narrow it down to what I want to do. And I was having a difficult time with that.
Okay. Now, part of it is that older souls don't like change. They like the devil they know. They also can't do anything minimum effort. They have to do everything maximum effort, which is draining sometimes. You know, even just putting out resumes, everything is like such a maximum effort that sometimes we do nothing. Do you mean we don't know how to just do like a little bit of something? So what you're being told is just start looking at, you know, Indeed in the different job sites, and then also start looking on the web for companies that you might want to work for that don't necessarily have jobs listed anywhere, because most of the jobs are never listed. But you can go on, say you were interested in working for ABC TV. If you go to the ABC TV website, there are job opportunities listed there for people and that are not listed anywhere else. And then, you know, you can apply for them. Or if there's nothing listed, you just send your resume to Human Resources, because it's another way to get a job. So, in other words, not just what's out there, but maybe go after what you would want to do. And you're getting a lot of guidance that it's time for a change. How long have you been in the current job that you're in?
About 3 years.
Okay, and you've learned practically all you can learn there. Are you feeling like it's time to move on?
I feel it's time to move on.
Okay, because I'm seeing it's time to move on here. And, I'm just seeing, like, now, every 3 to 7 years, if you work for somebody else, you're going to be looking for another job. That's just the way it is in America. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't really move up in companies anymore. It's a really weird job world. You sort of have to move out and up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to believe in yourself. Like, if there's a job, say you've been an assistant manager, I'm just throwing something out. Well, then maybe there's a job for a manager. That older souls are not bullshit artists, so they tend to not, well, I'm not a manager, I've only been an assistant manager, I can apply for that. No, apply for the manager. Maybe you could move up and out, but you have to believe in yourself and show how you can translate skills, because older souls don't do that great in interviews. And they don't sell themselves very well because they're just too modest and have a lot of humility. So it's almost like shoot for the moon a little bit, and also get a hardened skin if you're job hunting, because there's a lot of ghosting. They don't answer you. If you go on interviews, they don't even tell if you got the job or not. I mean, don't take it personally. It's the job market world.
Gotcha.
And you have a job, and it's a better time to look for one when you have a job, because it's not like, oh, the gun's at my head, I have to get something.
Right.
And also because you don't have love in your life, when you feel like your whole life needs shaking up, new job, new love, it's also oftentimes very linked together. Like you finding this new job leads you to new people, new friends, new opportunities, new way to meet somebody.
Gotcha.
So it's all kind of linked. It's a lot of change in your cards. And I know older souls don't like change, but good, because I'm seeing you're not happy with the devil you know anymore. It's time for a change.
I agree.
And it's a good change. There's nothing bad in your cards. I also just see your ex maybe trying to contact you. Does he try to contact you periodically?
Yes, because we have a child.
Okay. Oh, so you do have to have some contact with him. That's what I'm seeing.
Unfortunately.
Do you yes him to death? Do you yes him to death and tell him what he wants to hear at this point?
No, I just try to remain calm and say the bare minimum.
Right, because I would advise you to that, because you're not changing him and you're not fixing him. I hope you realize that.
I realize that.
And, you know, he's your greatest teacher. You've learned you can't fix people, and he certainly isn't very fixable.
Right.
But I just see that you've got to watch your back a little bit with him.
Okay.
Because, you know, you can't trust everything that he says. Be a little more. I mean, older souls are kind of naive. They wouldn't do certain things to hurt people, so they're always surprised when other people do it to them. If you just, you know, be strategic with him, don't let him know everything you're thinking. You'll get through it. But he's not a very happy man, and if he's having a bad day, he can make you have a bad month. So, you know, if he has a sob story or something, just be sympathetic toward him. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, too bad. Even though you know it's his fault, but don't tell him that. You know what I mean? Just go along with things. But lots of good changes here, and you're ready for them. So by the time your birthday comes December 1st, expect that year to be a lot of change.
Okay.
Good changes. Nothing bad, just good changes.
Good.
And your child needs to see a better version of love. So the universe would like you to have this soulmate coming. So they're not going to drag this, you know, for years. They want you to have someone and show that good love. So it's coming.
Oh, you see it coming after my birthday, you said?
Yeah, it could even be before, but it's in that birthday year. You know, you'll be in love, and it's very exciting here. Your cards are very exciting, and you need a little bit of excitement, don't you think?
I agree.
I mean, we could be bored to death is what I'm thinking, you know? Like, you don't want that. Well, do us a favor and call in and let us know what happens in your life. And
I will.
Be happy, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Have a great day, ladies.
Thank you. We have Sophia. Is that who this is here? Nicole.
Cindy, actually, you'll recognize the number a little bit because the number belongs to our good friend Karen. And
that's
Karen
what I thought.
Got
I said, how come it says Sophia when it's Karen's number? That's what I was going to ask you. Am I losing my mind? And I just saw Karen today, so I'm like, why would Karen call in tonight? You know, I just saw her today in my house. She came for a visit, for a reading. So,
she has a friend, Sophia, who just has a burning question for you, and it couldn't wait, so she called in immediately to get a little one-on-one with you tonight, Cindy. So we're going to go to Karen/Sophia and see what her burning question is.
And are you going to try to screen somebody else or two, please, also?
But of course.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Karen,
perfect.
You are on.
Hello?
Hi, Karen. It's Sophia.
It's Sophia.
You're at Karen's house. Okay, and I don't know if Karen saw any ghosts today since we were talking about ghosts today, but maybe they won't haunt her till later. But anyway, Sophia, what's your burning question?
So I have a lot of turmoil going on at work, so I just wanted to know if it's going to resolve this year, or do you see anything in the future for work?
Okay, now, I wish I saw a little better cards that I'm looking at. You do have one person you got to really watch your back with. Have you figured out who that is?
Yes.
Okay, and it's a female, by the way. Okay, because it looks like she can be hell on wheels if you're not careful. And so try to be a little more strategic, like we were talking with Crystal before. When you're dealing with people who are pretty unfixable, which makes them narcissists, and she is a narcissist. Are we in agreement that she's a manipulator?
Definitely.
And she's highly judgmental. It's not her fault. It's everybody else's fault. I'm seeing she doesn't have to be a problem if you handle her better. She may get out of there, so you might not have her there. But are you looking to work somewhere else as well?
Well, either one of us would have to go.
Okay. Well, let's pray she goes. But you know, do you have another job lined up?
Okay.
At this point? I mean, do you have another job lined up or, you know?
No, I don't.
Okay, because I would advise you not to cut your nose off to spite your face, which means walk out of there because you can't stand her. I would advise you to yes her to death, be strategic, ignore her as much as possible, and let's see if she doesn't get the axe before you do, or maybe she'll move on. You know, just it calls for a little patience for you for the first month, like maybe September to October.
Okay.
You have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her?
A grandmother? No.
Okay. She might have been gone before you were born, this woman.
Okay.
But she's one of your spirit guides, and she's pretty much saying, just bite your tongue. And is it hard for you to bite your tongue?
Sometimes. But usually I can.
Okay, because she's totally wrong, the woman. And you're not the only one who despises her, by the way. She's got a long list of enemies there. And just you don't want to be out of work, you know, without having something else there. So don't, you know, just be patient for a month. something's going to play out. So that has nothing to do with you playing it out. Okay, so it wouldn't be terrible if you quit and walk out and she's like either fired or gone somewhere else in another month. Wouldn't you like be like,
right.
Oh, because it looks like you like the job otherwise.
Yeah.
So, you know, the outcome, you got the justice card on it, so it's a good outcome for you. So just bear with it a little bit. And we do have to learn sometimes how to deal with these people, although it's not easy. It's not
right.
easy. I mean,
definitely
do you tend
not.
To duke heads with her? Is that what happens?
We used to, but not anymore. We don't speak at all now.
That's what I would tell you. I would say nothing to her. You know what I mean? Hello,
yeah.
Goodbye, whatever. And don't communicate.
Right.
Okay? Because,
right.
And, you know, the problem is older souls, and you're a very old soul also, are empaths. And we really don't like working in a place where there's that much, like, anger or not communication because we kind of feel it. I would just advise you to try to block it. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
don't even think about her. And
okay.
She's not a very rational person, by the way. I think
right.
you figured that out.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, not very well liked, but yet, you know, these kind of people, you know, you wonder why they're able to keep a job. Like what? But it almost seems like everybody's afraid she'll sue them if she gets, you know, loses the job or something. So she's a little bit nuts. That's what I'm seeing here. You agree she's nuts?
Definitely.
Okay. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but I'm just seeing in the next month things will play out. So
okay,
do us
great.
A favor and keep informed and say hello to Karen for me and call in again and let us know what's going on.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, we have
bye-bye.
Alicia. Bye. Okay. Now, so what's going on with Alicia in Long Island? She's something.
I know you're not
okay.
trying to read my short.
I am trying to read it, but I'm like, I'm not sure what this says. And you always
no,
describe it very well, so I prefer when
you get lost. It's not going to be a good situation for you. So I will tell you all about Alicia. Alicia's calling
okay,
in from Long Island. She did call in about 2 years ago, actually regarding her current relationship. But it's not sailing for her, Cindy. See, she has been in this long-term relationship. She's been about very, very disconnected from this relationship for about a year now. She's carrying most of the financial and the emotional weight, and she recently asked her boyfriend to move out. While this is going on, she met a new guy. But this new guy isn't really communicating as much as she'd like him to. So here's the dying question. Does she stay and fix the old relationship? Does she go and pursue the new relationship? And if she does go that route, how will she get this guy to communicate in a way that's effective for her to actually see a long-term relationship with this guy?
Okay. Now, I love the way you described it, and you could put Alicia on. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Alicia.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Cindy. Hi, Nicole. How are you guys?
Hi, dear. Well, first of all, there's no knight in shining armor going to rescue you, okay?
I know.
So let's put that on the – let me just – and you know this. So I knew you would laugh when I said that, okay?
I do.
Sometimes God brings us with a transition man, okay, just because most women can't leave a man unless there's another man there. So God kind of brings us somebody that makes us break our vows to the person we're with, whether, you know, we're just emotionally involved with this person or sexually involved, whatever. But it helps us break away from a person. But that person usually is just as unfixable as the one that you're with, which means, you know, they're both narcissists. It's about them. And, you know, the guy's not a bad guy, but it's this thing about men calling all the shots, like they don't want to communicate, you don't know what they feel, you know, they'll come and go, isn't very healthy. But it seems to me he's been brought just to help you to realize, well, you wouldn't be drawn to another man if you still were in love with the guy you're living with, okay? So it
right.
kind of shows you that you're not the kind of person that normally cheats or looks for somebody else, okay? And when we've been in a relationship for more than a year where we're not sure if we want to stay or go, it's time to go. The worst imaginable thing when you're with a soulmate is that they could die on you and leave you. It's like, that's the worst. So if you're like, I don't know if I want to be with this person for a year, it's certainly time to move on. It's hard for you because, you know, you like being in a relationship, you like being with someone, but the guy you're living with is going to be guilty of fiscal infidelity forever. He's never going to help pay the bills. Have you figured that out now?
Yeah, like he tries, but it's not enough. I'm used to somebody pulling their weight equally, but he's trying because I'm drawing from him, and I think that scares him, but I feel like it's all an act.
It's all an act, and it's also soulmates or relationships are supposed to be two equals, not mommy to a boy, okay? You're mommy to a boy with this guy, okay? Yeah. Now, the other guy, he's your master because he's telling you you can come this close, not that close. Don't call me, I'll call you. So you got him being that kind of a master over you. You've got you being mommy to a boy to this other guy. Love is supposed to be two equals. I mean, he is – the guy you're living with is a supreme narcissist, which means – when you the gun's at his head and you're going to leave him, then all of a sudden they get another job or they do whatever they, you know, for like a month or two. It's all for show. And then as soon as, you know, things go back to normal, he'll be back to his old ways. So you have asked him to move out, you said, correct? You asked him to move out? Okay.
Yeah.
And so when was this supposed to take place or when is it supposed to take place?
I asked him to move out since last and he's not taking me seriously. He says that, you know, we can work things out, but it's just, it's not where it's not the kind of relationship that I see myself in. Like, I like to be in a passionate, spontaneous relationship, and the passion is just not there between me and my current relationship.
And it's not going to be there. You know, you might have to, you know, this is the kind of guy, he's not moving out. He's got a free ride here. Where is he going to go and live so cheap? You know, you made it too nice for him. You know, you could say, well, you could stay here, but you just triple the rent. You know, tell him you can stay, but you got to pay me, like, say he's paying you $500 a month. Now you got to pay me $1,500 and you could stay.
Right.
Okay, like pull that on him. But he's the kind of guy, you know, I hate that you'd have to get the sheriff to get him out of there, but it's kind of like he's not moving out unless you start charging him more money, you know, because he's got a good deal there. You're going to see a side of him you might not like when you try to actually get him out of there. Does he have any place he can go to that you know of?
Not really. I know his aunt lives close by, like in Nassau County, but as far as a place for him to go, I have no idea.
Right. And again, that's not really your problem. It's his problem. But, you know, you're giving him a little bit of mixed messages because you're not sure if you want him to go. So he's, you know, pushing on that fear of yours. If you were really clear that he's got to go, you know, he'd get more of the idea. But, you know, I'm not seeing that this is going to get any better. Okay, how old are you?
30.
Okay, now, the longer you stay with him, the more likely you are to stay with him at 30, which means you'll have babies, you'll stay together. You know, it's like you're wasting a lot of time with him. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, that's what I feel deep down, but I'm wasting my time.
And, again, there's different kinds of cheating. He's not cheating on you with women, but he's cheating on money with you, fiscal infidelity. If you're to spend your life with this man, you're going to have nothing to show for it because you're supporting him. And, you know, it takes two people to make a living nowadays, you know, to pay the bills, to own a house. So it's a lot for, I mean, you know, unfortunately, your generation of women are supporting the men a lot of times. And that's what's happened with the women's liberation movement. The men have decided they don't have to go to work. They don't have to work too hard. But you're going to have not much to show for this. I mean, the other guy also has commitment issues. He's only drawn to you because you're living with somebody else. Okay, as soon as you're free, this guy may be hightailing it to the other direction. So, you know, he's got commitment issues. He's, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't care about you, but, you know, he's not the one that's going to rescue you from this mess. You got to rescue yourself. And, you know, you're not leaving the guy you're living with to be with this other man. You're leaving because you need to leave or, you know, you have him leave you. And it's your apartment that he's living in?
Yeah.
And when is your lease up?
It's up in February. I don't really like to make a big scene because I was just going to wait till the lease was expired and then just, like, move on.
That's, and you're going to move somewhere else. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Because
I'm kind of seeing that's what you might have to do here.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, so, I mean, if I were you, I would be stressing to him you want him to move out and see if you can't get him out of there. But otherwise, just don't even tell him what you're doing. Don't even tell him that you're not redoing this. Just find another place for you to live, and then, like, 3 weeks in front of it, just say, look, you know, I'm moving somewhere else, and, you know, the lease, you can take over this lease if you want to, which you can't, or, you know, you have to find somewhere else. But and because otherwise, I don't see how you can, I mean, I don't know, you don't want to get the sheriff after him, but this guy is going to push all your guilt buttons and make you feel bad.
Right.
And manipulate you. Now, with the other guy, how did you meet him?
I met him while I was shopping in BJ's 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
He had no idea about my current relationship, my current situation that I'm in. I told him.
Well, did you tell him that you're with somebody? That you live with someone?
I didn't. I told him I'm living with my ex, and I'm waiting for the lease to run out. And I told him that last week, but I met him 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so just, you know that, how often do you see him at all?
I haven't seen him at all this week. He has two girls. One is 7, one is 5, and he has them for the whole week, so I haven't really seen him at all.
Okay, and again, you know, he's just there to help you get out of this, whether he's the forever guy. I wouldn't worry about it too much at this point.
Right.
Because you really can't begin a relationship with someone if you're living with somebody else. I mean, what are you telling the guy you're living with when you go out? What are you telling him you're doing?
I don't tell him anything. I just go. I just go out.
Okay. And he doesn't care? He doesn't ask where you are?
He does, but I kind of say I'm with my family or I'm working late or whatever, but I've only seen the new guy, like, I would say 5 times since I met him. So this whole past week, I haven't seen him at all.
You know, I think, you know, sometimes we just got to take it a little slow and, you know, see what's there. And,
yeah,
you know.
Man.
I mean, and until you're out of this relationship, it's, you know, he's living in the place with you. It's not that easy to have a relationship when you're living with somebody still.
Yeah.
It can get a little messy and the whole bit. But, you know, he knows something's going on, by the way, the man you're living with. He's just not going to say anything because he doesn't want to get out of the place. Okay, so he's not going to do what a real man would do and say, look, you know, you're seeing somebody else. I'm out of here.
Right.
You know, he isn't going to do that. So don't expect him to be the one who walks out of this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know it's difficult because what you're feeling like is, oh, God, wouldn't it be nice if you just moved out? And
yeah,
I didn't
that's
have
how
to.
I feel.
But I don't see him really wanting to move out. So he's just hoping you're going to realize that the men are out there aren't so great and that he's about as good as you can get, but that's not true. At all.
Yeah, he kind of said something along those lines. Like, we had a conversation 2 weeks ago. He said that, oh, you're at 30. And I'm like, no. There's plenty of people out there that I could be happy with. But
he wants you to think it's not true.
Yeah.
Do you feel a soulmate connection with this other guy you met? Do you feel a heart connection with him?
I do. I do feel a connection. That's why I was, like, unsure about what I should do. I feel like I'm in a big mess, but I feel like there's a change that's coming, but I can't really put my finger on it.
The change coming is that you're not going to be with this guy very much longer, the one you're with, okay?
Right.
And, again, this other guy's helping you distract from it, kind of break away from him, own your own body back in your own mind. You don't belong to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a psychological divorcing process or separation process, and it usually, you know, you wouldn't be talking to this guy and meeting him if you really cared about the guy you're living with. You know that. And
when I'm in
a
committed relationship, I'm all about who I'm with. Like, I'm not a cheater and anything like that, but I've really been, like, emotionally disconnected from the current guy right now.
Well, and that's kind of what's happening. You're just separating. And it's giving you strength to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a manipulator, the guy you're living with. So,
yeah,
you know, he's going to make you feel sorry for him. But, you know, you can't, you know, when you're mommy to a boy who won't make a living, it ruins a relationship. It's a real
mm-hmm.
buzzkill, okay? It's really a buzzkill. And, you know, once you get the writing on the wall, this guy doesn't want to work that hard. He's never going to want to work that hard. I mean, I'm just telling you, you're young yet, but you hit 50, you're with him 20-something years, you're going to be like, what do I have to show for this? How come we can't afford
yeah.
a house? How come we can't afford anything? And I'm working.
Right.
It's not good. And, you know, don't feel sorry for him, by the way, because he's going to push all your guilt buttons, too. He's a real master of pushing guilt buttons.
Yeah, he is, actually.
Yeah, and that's how you know you're dealing with a narcissist, because narcissists are manipulators, and they always push our guilt buttons and make it feel like we're doing something wrong and we're the bad guys. That's
right.
Their weapon they use to control us is guilt. So just remember the expression, you lost me at the guilt. Okay, when he's guilting
yeah.
you, he's manipulating you, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, Cindy.
And call in and let us know what happens, okay?
Okay, yes, I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, now we have Patricia.
We do. All righty then, Cindy. Let me get you queued up here, shall you? Shall we? Okay, so actually we have one call before Patricia. We have Trish first,
okay.
Ironically enough. Okay.
Okay.
Because here. So Trish is calling us from Connecticut, and she's interested in knowing, dun-dun-dun, will she be reconciling with her ex?
Reconciling with her ex?
Yes, will she be reconciling with her ex? So here we go.
Okay,
here is Trish.
That's a good question.
Hi. Hello, Trish. You are on.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Trish. Thank you for calling from Connecticut. I'm a UConn girl. I always love my Connecticut callers. how long have you guys been broken up or not together?
Probably 18 months.
Okay, and have you been talking with him now?
No. The reason it popped into my mind was I recently found myself on the highway driving by him.
Oh, so you kind of crossed paths.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I could see you guys once had a very strong soulmate connection. Do you remember feeling that heart, soul, mind, body thing with him?
I do.
Okay, and he hasn't changed significantly. The issues that were there that broke you guys up look like they're still here. What actually made you guys not be together?
Part of it was location, and part of it was the speed at what the relationship was going. I thought it was going a little too fast.
Okay, so you got a little scared and ran, huh?
I wouldn't say scared. I just didn't expect it to move at the pace that it did.
Okay, and so who ended it with who?
I asked to slow it down, and his response to slow it down was to end it.
Okay. Now, doesn't that, you know, seem like a little harsh? But, you know, it looks like you hurt him and you haven't talked to him at all in this 18 months?
No.
Okay. I mean, you hurt him badly. And, you know, he looked like he was really serious about committing with you and to you. And, you know, now, you know, did you ever think of contacting him at all? Because I don't see him contacting you because it looks like, you know, you hurt him.
Yeah.
And for
so
whatever
I did,
reason.
So the last time we spoke, that was all me reaching out, trying to, you know, trying to start over again, that. And the initial conversations were very positive. And then when we met, it was like I was dealing with a different personality.
No, I can see that because he's not playing fair with you. It's the card that came up. He's not going to open up to you, and he's not a very forgiving kind of guy. That much I'll tell you. And, you know, he's not going to let you back in his life too easily. And if you do come back, he's going to try to call the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see that he wasn't really expressing how he feels with you or anything? That he was trying not to speak. He still cares about you. I see that here, but you've hurt him, and I don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to forgive you for what you did.
So it's interesting to say that. Forgive me for asking to slow down.
Right. No. Well, yeah. So he thinks you. He thought you were telling him to break off. Okay. Like you're so many people are so defensive. You tell them anything and they break up. Like that's their answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so in his mind, you're the one who broke up.
Right.
You're the one who, he interpreted, you said to him, let's slow it down a bit. He thought you were saying, let's break up.
Okay.
Like, there was a disconnect between the two things. And, how long did you know him when this all occurred?
We had only been dating a year.
Okay, and you were seeing each other frequently?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, he just, in some ways he just thought, why shouldn't we keep seeing each other? Like, why can't we just do what we're doing? And, I see that, you've hurt him very badly, and it doesn't look like he did anything wrong per se. But, a year is a pretty long time in a relationship. So why would you want to slow it down at the year mark?
Well,
I could understand you want to slow it down at the three-month mark if it's too much.
Well, okay, so it really started at the six-month mark, and then it was kind of back and forth, on and off again, for the next year. And the reason I was slowing it down was I had just started a new job, and I was extremely busy and did not have the time to put into it that he was looking for.
Right, and I can just see that he's not a very forgiving person. So, he saw it as you kicking him in the face or rejecting him. So, you did try to open up the door with him. You could try it one more shot at it, but I think that same distant person that you saw the last time is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have more than one soulmate. Are you, ready for love? I mean, what I would advise you is to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's that man from the past, so be it. If it's someone new, let that be brought on. But what you saw was a very defensive man. And I don't think that's changed. And, you haven't found another soulmate to take his place, so, at this point, maybe if you're offered another soulmate, trust that the timing is correct and when it's brought. But, the on and off for the 6 months was because you guys couldn't see each other because you were working. Is that why it was sort of on and off?
Well, it was a combination of work and location.
Right, because he lives far away?
Yeah.
Okay, and how did you meet him?
I actually met him in a bar.
Okay, so you met him in a bar and there was distance. You just hurt him very much. And the fact that you passed on the highway I find kind of funny because the universe has kind of given him one last time to see, well, maybe, you could try to reconnect with her. I just think he's not going to be the same guy you used to know.
Okay.
And it's sad, but he just took it that way. And he has a side of him that really holds grudges. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, did you ever have a fight with him prior to this at all?
Yeah, but, never to this level.
Right, but he's a little bit of a grudge holder. So I do see if, you could try one last time with him if you feel so inclined. But pretty much, are you ready to close the door on this if this doesn't work?
Well, I was getting ready, and in the last couple months, I ran by him in on the highway, and then just before that, you know how when someone gets like a virus in their email and it goes through all their contacts?
Right.
I got one from him, you know, where this, I knew it was, you know, spam or whatever, but again, all of a sudden I got this email and I was like, well, this is kind of strange.
Well, the universe is trying to put you back to alignment just to see, you know, for, you know, see if you can get back, do it, check on it, and then if he doesn't seem to want it or you don't feel that the same way about him, then move on, because the universe does use emails and he lives far away from you. To cross on the highway is not that easy. And,
right.
You know, the fact that you got the spam, you know, they use people, they use narcissists who try to spam you. They use the narcissist to do what they need him to do anyway, which is, like, put his email in yours. So, you know, you could try contacting him, but, you know, I would advise you, if you find out he's just the same way, cold and distant, you know, close the door and be ready to move on. It always looks like it's one last, the universe gives one last shot at soulmates before they move another one in.
Okay.
And call in and let us know what happens. Are you thinking you're going to contact him?
No. I was thinking that I ran into him, maybe he would contact me. I felt like I already put, you know, all my effort out the last time. But, that's why I was saying, I'm willing to accept it either way.
Right. And again, you know, they're kind of giving him a chance to contact you at this point. And if he does, good. If he doesn't, you're not held accountable anymore for this. You did try once other time to get it back. And, you know, all you can do is know that the universe, we have more than one soulmate, and they will bring another one into alignment with you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well,
so
good
much.
Luck to you, and keep us posted, please.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. So now we're going to try to get to our last caller tonight, which is...
our last caller. Well, this
okay.
is
and,
for...
And again, anybody, if you don't call in by like 10 after 7, we can't take your call usually because you go too far down the line. And, you know, we screen other callers and then we have to take them in order. And I can see Sal wants to talk to us, but we won't have time tonight. He did let me know that John is back with his girlfriend, by the way.
Yes, I do. And
okay,
you know,
John.
I was talking to Karen about that, and Andrew about that at your show, actually.
Really?
Yes, really. We were, we were discussing, you know, just like all people on the show and this and that and everything else, and. We had said, you know, we haven't really heard from John in a while. And, you know, I mean, are we going to get an update? Is he going to call back? And I said he might be mad because last time I told him to grow a pair. So it's nice to hear that things are working out for Mr. John and that he's with the girlfriend.
Right.
Somebody that I know, the psychic medium lady that I know, actually said if he was patient, that would happen. I wonder who that was.
Well, we told him he had to be patient. You know, sometimes people don't want to know
patience. That poor man tortured himself for no good reason.
Sometimes we just have to be patient. Okay, so we have Patricia, and what's her story tonight?
Okay, so we're on for Patricia next. And basically, Patricia's got a very, very easy question. She has relationship questions, Cindy, and she needs you to answer them. So let's see what's up with
good.
Patricia. Hello, Patricia. You are on the air.
Yes, hi. It was regarding relationships. I want to get a clarity on not what man would be helping me, say, acquire, be it my new housing or to maybe, you know, a life partner. But I'm working on getting myself moved into a new housing, and I don't know if it's a man there.
Okay, that's good. Actually, it's good because your life is shaken up a bit. So, you know, moving into a new place, meeting new people, it does look like you're going to meet someone. And when's your birthday month day?
July 16th.
Okay, so you're in your brand new birthday. You're good. Okay, it's supposed to be a year of love. It looks like a very nice man coming your way. And, you know, he looks like someone who is a man who will be able to help you in many ways. He's a very good man. He's very hardworking. And it looks circling right near you. Also, your own money situation looks better here, too. So, you know, there's a lot of good things showing up in your cards. Do you do anything to find anybody?
Well, I've started to go out, you know, to free events, you know, be at, you know, free concerts throughout the city, you know. Oh, goodness, what else? You know, it's a concert at the library or, you know, a group dance or I was considering joining a meetup because I'm learning acoustic guitar. And
great.
I want to build my skills so that, yes, to play the guitar, but also to help me write songs and to, you know, give another skill to myself.
Perfect, because that looks, all these things look like they will bring you to love, and you know, you needed to stand on your own two feet without a man for a bit. Have you been doing that for a while?
Well, I've been doing that all my life. I've never been married.
Okay, well, good. Are you ready to have a man who wants to be a life partner? Because that's what I'm seeing here. And
okay.
You know, you have some of your own commitment issues. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I know that I'm still healing and releasing, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, doing energy work myself. And last September, I discovered I had a whole past life, you know, person. And I'm doing on my end to cleanse and heal and resolve, but he doesn't know anything about past lives. And what you were talking about, some other callers, about narcissists, it sounds like this man is a narcissist, but in a past life, he was a cult
And he's
leader.
Still one. It's still one. Narcissists take like 10 lifetimes to burn that off. So, and so it's with him, you know, he opened your heart to love. But he opened your heart to the fact that you do want love. Didn't that open you up? So, you know, blessed that this soul connection helped you grow and learn. But this is a man that you're going to, I mean, sometimes we just need that. But this is a man who is your equal. You have a lot in common with him. He's actually a soulmate that you've been with in a past life, but wasn't one that you had to do karmic healing. Like with your other past life guy, you had to heal something. And the healing is that you're not fixing him. So give up.
Right.
Yeah, you're not fixing him. Move on. This man doesn't need fixing. He's done his own inner homework as you've done it. So it's an easy relationship. It's not one fraught with a lot of angst and anxiety and healing issues. So the more you work on healing your issues that you still have left, the better. And, you know, the new housing looks good for you. It's a good change. Keep doing all the things you're doing, make your music, study the guitar, meet new people, and you'll put yourself in alignment with it. The other guy from the past life, you know, past life connection, did you kind of close up that chapter in your life now?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, whatever free concert I would go to, I just don't go to hear him. And I know on my birthday I went somewhere to just listen to some music, and I wasn't thinking about him, but when I walked in and I see he and his wife, so I just walked past, you know, and I didn't say anything. But I'm particularly, could you get some clarity and connection with the housing? Is there a man that's to help me with the housing? I mean, apart from the, you know.
Well, I'm not sure I'm seeing how a man's supposed to help you with your housing.
No, I mean, not get the house, but I mean, it's some way I'm to connect with him in a business way, or
you know, it does look like it's a love affair and has some business connections to it as well. So, you know, but more I would figure out how you're going to figure out your finances. and not,
right.
you know,
I mean,
not worry
I'm
about a man coming and saving you, because, again, we're talking about there's no knight in shining armor going to save us. We got to figure out how we're...
Right. No, I'm working on getting another job and, you know, a third shift job and working on some other areas that I'm working on now, you know, doing TA work on films and gaining those skills. And since that won't be, you know, every month, it will bring in a stream of income. And then as I learn and move through there, I can learn how, what area I might want to do, like maybe, you know, edit film or edit dialogue, edit music. And
perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm just seeing you might connect with a man that way, business-wise. You know, someone mm-hmm. who, you'll meet someone more through that.
Yeah.
Right,
right.
So it's a love affair and a business kind of thing going on here. So,
right. so
keep
yeah,
doing
yeah.
everything
so.
You're doing, because, you know, when you get that little guidance that keeps telling you follow this road, take this course, do that, it's because they know where the soulmate is, the universe,
right.
and they're trying to get you there. Well, anyway, we do have
oh.
to close up the show before Blog Talk shuts us down. So I want to thank everybody for calling in. Patricia, call in again and let us know what happens in the near future. We always like to hear back from people.
Okay, and tell me the full name of the show.
It's called Number One Long Island Psychic Medium offers free relationship advice.
All right, thank you very much and have a good evening.
Hey, you're welcome. Okay, good night, everybody. Nicole, thank you for everything tonight. We tried to get to as many callers as we can. Remember, if you want to speak to us, try to call in the first 10 minutes of the show. Otherwise, it's very hard for us to get to you.
And don't forget to press the number one.
Oh,
when
of
you
course. Because the number one Long Island Psychic Medium says push number one, okay? All right.
Yeah.
So thanks for calling in. We'll all speak next week. Have a great week, Nicole.
You too, Cindy.
Bye.